the equivalent to flying rings, you could think of this as knotted tori mar 3, because the path that the ring traces is a 2. And there's various ways to draw this. So we have to draw a four-dimensional object in two dimensions. So we need some conventions to do this. One way to do this is this broken surface diagrams. If you are familiar with knot diagrams, then this is a very similar thing. What does knot diagram, how do you create a knot diagram? A knot is a three-dimensional object, and then you're projecting it down to the plane, so you're losing one dimension, and you're preserving this data of what was higher than another thing by creating these under and over crossings. So when something is hidden by a higher z coordinate over it, then you just break that strand. So this is very similar. It's called a broken surface diagram. So these surfaces are three-dimensional objects. There's a way to draw a three-dimensional object in two dimensions. Dursen is not a mathematical convention, but a human convention. So you know how to draw something three-dimensional on paper. But also you're preserving some the important information about the fourth dimension by breaking the surface whenever that spot is hidden by something with a higher fourth coordinate. So which coordinate is which here? This coordinate is the t coordinate. This plane is the xy plane, and that so xy t is the three-dimensional picture, and the thing that's shown by the breaking of the surface is the z-coordinate. So you see when the blue is broken, that means that the blue is under the red in the z-direction, and when the red is broken, that means that red is under the blue in the z-direction. So this is how these broken surface diagrams. And then there's this other way of drawing it by drawing ribbons. So the way this works is you basically flatten the cube, flatten the tubes, and make them into ribbons. And then you can take one of these pictures of ribbons and make them into four-dimensional pictures of tubes by thinking of the ribbon as a membrane and kind of blowing it up. So you're lifting it up and lifting it and pulling it down and creating a tube out of it. Mm-hmm. The two sides of it will stay attached, and how thick it will be depends on how thick it is as drawn. So which coordinate is which? This is again the this is again the t-direction. This is the xy plane. So you're drawing this, you can translate this two-dimensional drawing via the human convention into a picture, a three-dimensional picture of ribbons crossing each other in R3. And then you go to R4, adding the z-dimension by blowing up these tubes in.
No, it's the y direction that you add by blowing up. Because the intersection, so put a plane at the bottom of the picture, it intersects the ribbon with just two lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should be two circles, so it's the y coordinates that's missing.
So it's the x, z, and t that are shown, and it's the y coordinate that you get by blowing the membrane.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't understand how this, where the extra information is encoded in these ribbon diagrams.
Where the extra...
So, So I mean, we have two ribbons here. The information we have is how they loop around in two-dimensional space and which direction they kind of cross here. But this doesn't seem like it's any more information than a Knot diagram.
But they allow it to go through the strand.
Oh. So maybe you want to compare it with the alternative picture, this one here. So this is a virtual crossing. This is the crossing that looks three-dimensionally like an ordinary crossing, but when you blow up each of these membranes, each of these bands to a tube, they look like two tubes that pass away from each other. And this is or like two rings that fly set aside from each other, as opposed to this picture, where when you blow these two things up, when you blow air into them, they become two. They become the picture on the left.
Okay.
So when you blow up in the y direction, then the two tubes are disjoint, right? In both cases, but in that case they are disjoint and avoid each other, and in this case they fly through each other. They go through each other. And then once you have these tubes, you could sort of fill them in. So from tubes you could go to solid tori by just adding their insides, and then you get what's called a ribbon two-knot. So it's a two-knot because it's like a knot, but it's one higher dimension. And why is it a ribbon? It's a ribbon because it's a one higher dimensional analog of ribbon knots, if you know what ribbon knots are. But let me explain what it means in this case. So when you have filled in the insides, then you won't get embedded solid tori in R3, in R4. You'll get immersed solid tori, but the singularities can only be of very specific kinds. So what are these kinds? First of all, they will always have to be transverse, and always only double points, never triple points. And what is an immersed torus? It's a map from a torus to R4. So each of these singularities, which are double points, will have two sets of pre-images, two pre-images on the torus. And what are these allowed to be? So the only singularity you're allowed to have in this, let's look at this ribbon notation, is one of the ribbons going right through the middle of another ribbon. So what will the pre-images look like? One of the pre-images will be a complete, what is it called, meridial? So either disk on the torus, disk in the solid torus that looks like this, so meridial, or completely inside, interior. So if you look at the pre-image on this one, that will be the meridial. And if you look at the pre-image in this one, then it will be entirely in the interior. What's not allowed is this. So it cannot be something like this. Inside.
Can you just say again the pre-image of what?
So what's an immersion of a solid torus into R4?
Mm-hmm.
It's a map from the solid torus to R4,
mm-hmm.
with some which is not injective. So it will have some singularities. Mm-hmm. Each of these singularities have to be double points.
Mm-hmm.
So each singular point in the image has two pre-images.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at what the singularities look like in the image, it's always transverse disks where they cross each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the pre-images of the disks will have to be one of two kinds,
mm-hmm.
either completely across the
mm-hmm.
torus or entirely inside the torus.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same notion as a ribbon knot, except a ribbon knot will be a knot which bounds a disk in R3, and that disk is allowed to have so-called ribbon singularities, which will look exactly like this. A ribbon going through another ribbon, and it will not be allowed to have singularities like this. So basically, a ribbon knot is interpreting this picture in R3, and the ribbon two knot is interpreting the same picture in R4 with this blow up convention.
Do they have the convolution?
What do you mean?
Like if you. I mean, if in these versions, if you study the ribbon knots versus ribbon two knots, versus the blowout version, are they very different or
ribbon knots is of course a different thing, like
because.
So really we're talking, first of all, we're still talking about braids. So where we keep using the word knots, but we really mean braids.
Okay.
So, but you could talk about ribbon braids
mm-hmm.
in, or you could sort of make the analog of this construction one dimension down,
mm-hmm.
and then the difference is that this relation would not hold. So in, let me magnify it. So in the one with the two crosses here. So as things in R4, these two are the same. As things in R3, they are not the same. So in fact, if you could talk about a braid theory in which there are two types of virtual crossings. So that would be the virtual crossing, but there would be two types of virtual crossing, the virtual overcrossing and the virtual undercrossings, with some funny relations between them. And you could talk about it. The only thing is that I have nothing interesting to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of it's equally valid a group, but it doesn't lead to us to an interesting algebraic theory later on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then let me just explain this last line of pictures. This ribbon notation is also useful for remembering or understanding why overcrossings commute and undercrossings don't. So overcrossings commute translates to this picture where you have two ribbons that go through the middle of a third one,
mm-hmm.
and then you could pull this third one down without any problems. Sort of the inside of it is soft, so things can move around. But undercrossings commute would translate to this picture where you have two virtual crossing ribbons, and then there's a third one that goes through the inside of both of them, and when you try to pull this up, then it would twist, it would get stuck.
Okay.
So, as a little aside, I like to talk a bit about the version where you don't require the flying rings to be horizontal. So for all of this, we always assume that all of the rings are in horizontal position, and whenever they fly remaining horizontal. But you could drop that condition. So what happens if you drop that condition? Well, then they will be able to flip. If you want to describe it in the same way, let Yn be the space of placements of n numbered. I want them to be oriented, because when the placement is horizontal, then you have a clear distinction between flying through from below and flying through from above. But if it can turn any way, then you need the circle to be oriented to be able to distinguish between two directions. So numbered, oriented, geometric, and what else?
Disjoint.
Unlinked. And then Sn semi-direct product with Z2 to the n acts on this, because you can permute the circles, and for each circle you can flip the orientation. And I'll call my n tilde the factor. By this action. And the theorem is that the fundamental group of y n tilde is an extension of W grades, and it's a Z2 extension, Z2 to the n extension.
Of pure W.
So how is it a Z2 extension? So you're talking about the fundamental group. We can pick the base point any way we want. So let's pick it the same way as before. So all of them be arranged on a line and horizontal. So each of them, since it has to return to its original position, it can fly around, and while it flies, it can do a number of flips. But at the end, it has to come back to the original. So it, the added generator that I get for each strand is going to be a flip, and this flip will be denoted Wi. Generators are the same as before, Si, sigma I, but also these added Wi. It's called Wi because W stands for the word when. And the when is what you get if you interpret the flip as a tube. If you turn your hand out over, this is a picture of the when. And then you could ask the picture is not really precise, right? One of the surfaces would have to be broken, and it can be proven that it doesn't matter which one is broken, it's the same when. Also, you would have a different when for breaking the thinner one or breaking the thicker one, and also you could turn it upside down. So you could go from thick to thin or from thin to thick. So basically you have four bands. Pairs of these are obviously inverses of each other. So if I flip like this and then flip back, that's nothing. And same, if you flip like this and then flip back, is nothing. But in fact, it's true that if you flip twice in the same direction, that's also nothing. And that can be seen from this movie that George will show you.
So, the movie, can you turn off the light? The movie is a YouTube movie, and there will be a link to it from the website. The movie is about turning a torus inside out, but within that movie, they use the trick that doing a when twice is the is nothing. So here you go.
And this is not the obvious twice. It's not flip and undo the flip, but it's two of the same flips.
Okay, so this is the point where you have two whens. But in fact, it's the same one. It's sort of thick going into thin, and then again thick going into thin. And we've gotten to that point from a point roughly here where you had the identity. So in fact, it's the homotopy going the other way around, from the identity to two n's, to the n squared. Okay? So here is the homotopy. And of course, you have to think that in R4, the thickness of the tube indicates the depth in the fourth dimension. So this is not really a singularity, because the green tube being thinner is way below the brown one being thicker. And then the brown one here is below the green one here in the fourth coordinate, so there is no singularity here. Anyway, we may as well continue the movie. So, as a side effect, we've switched from a completely green torus to a completely brown torus. Okay, but we could continue.
Couldn't they just paint it?
Well.
So, let me say what the relations are. The hidden relation is that wi is one thing, and then it has the property that its square is one. Obviously,
as we have just seen,
obviously, if we have a flip on one strand and a flip on the other strand, these commute, doesn't matter which order different rings are flipping in. And then there are a few relations that require some justification. Let me just write them. Wi, Sj is Sj, Wi. Why? Well, if there's two rings that trade places and the third one flips, obviously same thing. But if there's two rings trading places and meanwhile one of them flips, which is part of this relation, that's also commutative. So whether this flip first and then trace places, same thing as trace places without interaction and then flips. This one is also...
No, sorry. You have an indexing issue. So now you're in the convention where SI indicates a flip of strand I with strand J,
yes.
Sort of a virtual crossing of strand I with strand J.
With strand
so,
I plus one.
Sorry, with strand I and strand I plus one. And I plus one. So most of the times what you wrote is right. However, if I and J are adjacent, so if you'll have a relation more like WI SI is SI WI plus 1.
Yeah, you're right.
So there are some case checking. There are some
okay.
cases.
Yes. Okay, so that is correct. Okay, so this is when I minus j...
No, I think it's when I is not equal to j. That's the only condition. Sorry, thinking again. When I... The two exceptions are I is not j and... And not j plus
1. J plus
1. Right. And if I is j or j plus 1, then...
Mm-hmm. Then they will stay still commute, but the W will have to be re-indexed.
Yes. And maybe we should skip the re-indexing, but it's clear what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And likewise for the sigmas.
Likewise for the sigmas, this is when I is not j or j plus 1. So I do have a separate one for when I is the same as J. So this is actually the most interesting case. This is the only case in which it will not commute. So what is this?
Oh, I was thinking maybe if the inner ring flips, okay. Is it okay?
Yes.
And then outer
yeah.
ring flips,
yes,
okay.
Yes, exactly.
But when you have
so
the J and J plus
1,
you're
flips.
Pulling out both cases.
So when the inner ring flips, then it will just have to be re-indexed.
Right.
Because it will be...
So does it not correspond to one of the cases, J or J plus 1? You should only have one case that's ruled out, right?
So, okay, so when I... So when the when is on strand J plus 1, so when the when is on the inner ring,
mm-hmm.
then...
Mm-hmm.
So I have a when here, and this is flying through. This is the same as having a when here. This is a when. So it commutes, but when you write it, then this is when I plus 1, and this is now when I. So it just has to be re-indexed. So when I plus 1 sigma I is the same as sigma I when I.
So it's okay with the J plus 1?
So when I is J plus 1, then you just re-index it. It's okay.
So you can erase that side?
No, because it's not commutative. It's not that when I plus 1 sigma I is sigma I when I plus 1. It just has to be re-indexed, but morally it commutes. Okay. But when is on the other strand, so here's a one, and this is sigma I, then what happens? So So either I have one ring flying through the other, and then this other ring flips, or this ring flips, and then this ring flies through. So what's the difference is that it's flying through from the other side. And as we have seen before, flying through from the other side is conjugating the inverse by a virtual. So what this is the conjugate of the inverse of sigma I by a virtual times the when, and then I just have to see the reindexing issue that I have. So, so it will be virtual, opposite virtual, and the when is on this trend. So this is when I plus one. Some Japanese people who name them wens. Was it
Kananobu and Shima? And but I think the dictionary meaning of a wen is, I think it's similar to a knot on a tree. You know, like well, but the word knot we already use for something else. But where you have sort of well, you know, we can look it up, of course. So where should we go? Dictionary.com? What have I done? Yes. No, it's not a word in Japanese. It's a Japanese... So what is it? A benign... Well, okay. Sorry, so I had it wrong. A cyst. I guess a cyst is not a bad name, right? You have sort of this nice tube flying around and then it does something unusual. Okay, so anyway, let's...
So one more comment about the winds. I didn't say anything about pi 1 of yn without the tilde. Why is that? It's because it does nothing. So if you want to return to the exact original positions, that means that you want to return into the same orientation, and therefore you'll have to do an even number of flips. And by all of these relations, you can always commute the winds across stuff. Okay, maybe it's not strictly a commutation, but the point is that you could bring the winds to the beginning of the entire movie, and when you bring the winds to the beginning of the entire movie and you have an even number of them on each strand, then they just cancel because wen squared dies. So so pi 1 of yn without the tilde is not any different from wbn.
No, sorry, it's the opposite. It's the pure one which is the same. Pure meaning... Yeah, the pure one is the same. Pure meaning returning to the same place.
Pure meaning returning to the same.
You mean just
writing?
Yes.
So I wrote it right in the beginning.
Yes, so this is... Yeah.
That means that that some permutation of them, possibly with orientation reversals, counts as the same thing. So when you do a loop, at the end of the loop, the orientations and the order could be different. And here you have to return to the same orientation, same order, so you have to do even number of ones, mm-hmm. and they all die.
Question? Is a rim the same thing as something that's kind of more obviously analogous to a kink in a strand? Like, in other words, you have a tube, and then it actually comes back and crosses through itself?
So, in... I don't know if this is your question, but in terms of the ribbon notation, when is a twist? A single twist?
Yeah, so I think, like, what would be more analogous to a kink, I think, is if you had a tube that curls around and then it passes through itself.
But that would not be a braid. We're still in braids, and what you said does not make sense.
No, it's not a braid.
What you, the thing you have in mind has in it a tube, a ring, a part of the time flying backwards in time, and
yeah,
we don't have that
we
yet.
Don't have that.
We will have that later, and it will be distinct from the when. It's some from the when. It's something else.
Should I or should I not? I should not.
Yeah, okay.